Good morning, everybody. Would y'all stand up with us? It is so great to see you all. Glad that you're here. Pray that you're ready to worship this morning. Let's sing, guys.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Verse 2.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sound. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his
and wonders,
and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen.
Amen. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand real quick, say hi, tell them you're glad they're here this morning as we begin worship on this gloriously, gloriously cold morning. Wow, how's the worship team? Y'all sounding good this morning, everybody ready to worship? We're just going to go straight. Yeah. All righty, go ahead and have a seat. Welcome this morning to Hardin Baptist Church, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope that you're like me. You just can't wait to get here early on Sunday morning to begin a brand new week with the body of Christ in adoration and praise of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's not ever take for granted the privilege that we have to meet together publicly on the first day of the week. Do you realize there's places around the world where the church is literally having to meet in secret because of the persecution from their government or sectarians in their community? And here we are, living in the United States of America, and have the privilege of just assembling together publicly and adore and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're a guest this morning, we can't tell you how glad we are that you're here for whatever reason, visiting family, maybe you've just moved into the community or you're just passing through the community. We appreciate so much you being with us. There's some guys right now going to stand up in the front here with me. They're going to turn around, they're going to look towards you, and they're looking for you if you're a guest. We don't want to embarrass you, but would you mind just slipping your hand just high enough above your shoulders these guys can see you as they start back toward the back of the congregation? If you'll hold them up just a little bit, they'll get to you. They're going to put a guest card. They're going to give you a pencil. If you don't mind, on our next song, if you would take time to fill out that guest card, and at the end of our worship service, we would like for you to drop that guest card filled out into our offering plate. Let's bow, asking God's blessing on the rest of our service this morning. Father, boy, it's just with extreme anticipation that we come into your presence this morning, just knowing that you're going to reveal yourself to us. You already have through your Son, Jesus Christ. You already have through creation. You've revealed yourself in your Word to us. But Father, we're talking about that. Some call it intangible, but we believe it's tangible. Your presence. We want your Spirit to open our eyes to see you in all of your wonder. And we just want to stand in awe of you, of what you have done, a Redeemer, but not only Redeemer, our Creator. And Father, we just praise you for the work of your fingers, for the work of your hand, in what you have revealed to us in Scripture about who you are, but not only who you are, what you've done. Father, we now want to stand amazed that you are a God of wonders. And Father, in just a few minutes, we just want to tell you how great you are. And to just know that you're indescribable, Lord. Father, for all of this, we truly praise you. Now, Father, let us be held attentive by your presence. Let us be more aware of you than the person sitting beside us or behind us. And whether we're on the stage or we're in a chair, let us truly, truly give you our worship.
Amen.
In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would y'all stand up with us, please? Lord of heaven and earth,
Lord of all creation,
Lord of heaven and earth,
Lord of all creation.
God of wonders, let's sing, guys. Lord of all creation. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high.
Oh, God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy.
Celebrate.
I will celebrate the light as I stumbled in the darkness. I will call your name by night. Oh, God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are
heaven, Lord of heaven and earth. Sing that again.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Sing hallelujah.
A hallelujah
to the Lord of heaven and earth.
Hallelujah
to the Lord of heaven and earth.
Hallelujah.
God of wonders.
Oh, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy.
The universe
declares your majesty.
of wonders,
God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy.
The
universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
One more.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen. 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 He is Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. 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 Above all things. Guys, sing with me.
Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
From the highest of heights,
from the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. The colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are
all-powerful,
all-powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God.
Who has told every lightning? Here we go.
Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light? Yet conceals it to bring us the of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable. Awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
All right, we're going to go back and sing that chorus, guys, okay? Here we go.
Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God.
Oh Lord, yes you are, Lord.
All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humble.
proudly proclaim, you are amazing God.
Sing indescribable.
Lord, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing God. Yes, you are, Lord, unconquerable, unchangeable. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing God. You are amazing, God.
Amen. He is an amazing God. Amen. Great and powerful.
Shout out.
Father, we bow before you this morning and we proclaim to you that you are a great and amazing God. We love you so much this morning. Our time here, Lord God, is not about us. And it's not about making time in church. The reason we are here is because you first loved us and you've changed our lives. And this morning we say to you, we love you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for your amazing love. What an awesome God you are. Jesus, we thank you for giving us life. And we pray this morning in your name. Amen.
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 As you take your seats, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. This morning, we're going to try to open the door of the Hebrew Hall of Faith. And as we open the door and walk in, the first exhibit that our tour guide is going to show us might surprise many of us. Because what we're actually going to behold first is not a person, but the universe. Imagine just for a second, we're in the Hebrew Hall of Faith, and we're looking at this exhibit, and what we see is an exhibit of the universe. Can we bring that up yet, Sarah? Now, for some of us, we're going to stand here just a few moments and we're going to be off to the next exhibit. But for some of us, we're not going to stand here for minutes. We're going to stand here for hours and we're going to stand here for days. And we're going to be amazed. We're going to be awestruck. And as we stand before this exhibit, we see a placard underneath the exhibit that says these words, "By faith, we understand that the heavens were created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." By faith. For you see, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we were outside the Hebrew Hall of Faith and we were being introduced to faith? The writer reminded us that faith is the assurance or the foundation of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. He now says that by faith, and that word's going to mark every exhibit we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we understand. Now, to understand means that we know something. And to know something, it means that we have to have a certain amount of factual information. So the first thing that we note on this placard is, by faith we understand. And what the writer's trying to clue us in on is, as he's trying to challenge this early church to continue to be a people of faith, not faith in Judaism, but faith in the Son of God, they have already been, to a certain degree, exercising faith. So that they understand that faith gives us a spiritual perception about certain things about life. In other words, what the writer's trying to say to us as we begin our study of great people of faith, is that there's some things in life that you know by faith. Now, what is it the writer is going to tell us we know by faith? Here's what we know by faith. That the universe was created by the Word of God. King James Version translates this word created as framed. When you look this Greek word up in the Greek dictionary, its primary intention is to talk about design. So what did the writer tell the early Jewish church? By faith, they know that the universe was created, it was designed by the Word of God. Now you realize that in the book of Hebrews, there's two words used for Word of God. One is Logos, referring to Jesus, the Logos of God, John 1, and Rhema. Rhema refers to the spoken word. Now, if the writer and preacher is Jewish, and the audience is Jewish, does it make sense to you, as it makes sense to me, that probably this is a reference in the writer's mind back to the creation story of Genesis 1? Would you agree to that? For by faith we understand that the universe was created out of the Word of God. And we remember what the third verse of Genesis 1 tells us. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I remember that when I was in college and in seminary, my Hebrew professors say that in the Hebrew, it's dramatic. Said God, light be, light was. What a God. Why the psalmist in the 33rd Psalm, verse 6, echoes this same sentiment when he says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. Now look at verse 9. For he spoke and it came to be, he commanded and it stood firm. Now what's amazing is this. Verse 8 actually gives us our response to creation by the spoken word of God. When we realize that we worship a God who has the power to speak creation into being, what is our response to be? Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. So I want to say to you this morning, if you're understanding what's going on this morning, as we stand at this first exhibit in the Hebrew Hall of Faith, there ought to be a little trembling. There ought to be some reverence. We ought to stand back and be in awe of our awesome God. Because He has the power to speak things that were not into existence. Matter of fact, in Romans 4, 17, not talking about creation, but talking about salvation and how Abraham believed in God and how he stood in the presence of God. And look what it says. As it is written, I made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Now, no doubt historically, as you trace this back to Genesis 15, you know that God made a promise to Abraham that was absolutely impossible to fulfill, and that is he was going to have a son because it was biologically impossible for it to happen. And what did Abraham do? He believed. Why did he believe? Because God could give life to the dead, and he could what? He could call into existence things that never did exist. See, not only was Abraham going to believe in a God who was Redeemer, he would believe in a God who was also Creator. By faith, we understand what? The heavens were created by the Word of God. And secondly, we understand so that what we see, he's writing to the Jewish audience, was not made out of things that are visible. Now, for just a second here, we've got to go back at least almost 2,000 years in time, and you've got to remember this. The predominant view of creation by the gods at this time was held by the Greek-Roman world was the belief that the gods created the world out of already pre-existing matter. There were two things that were eternal: God and pre-existing matter. Now, I got to remind you of this truth. At the time the Bible was being written, I think we can overwhelmingly say that the cultures of the world and the societies of people who lived on the earth were a highly religious people. Would you not agree to that? Therefore, the predominant thought of that world was, if you did not believe in a God, you were a fool. You may not have believed in Israel's God, but you believed in the God you were taught about. Isn't it amazing how times have changed? Today, our culture believes that the fools are the people who believe in a God. But I want you to watch this. Don't read modern thinking into this verse. What this verse is teaching is a clash between Jewish thought based on Scripture and what the world around them was teaching, and that was this: that matter has always existed. And from a religious viewpoint, they thought matter was evil, but that's another sermon. What this is teaching is this: God did not create the world out of existing matter. Some want to say this is teaching creation out of nothing. But the writer doesn't go there in this verse. Not because it's not true, but because that was the accepted position of the Jewish people, because they believed, Genesis taught, that the only uncaused being in being is God. All other things, even the universe, has a cause, or it has a beginning. Amen. Now let's take a time out right here and let's have a Bible lesson quickly. There are two primary means by which God has revealed himself. One is called natural or general revelation. The second is called special revelation. When we deal with God's general revelation of himself, we're talking about his revelation of himself in nature, in the heavens and in the earth, and in man. This is why the psalmist in Psalm 19 can say, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." Look at verse 2. "Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." Do you hear what Scripture's teaching? That the heavens declare what? The glory of Yahweh. Romans 1, verse 20. The Apostle Paul, when talking about the unrighteousness, that God's wrath is being poured out to show that God is just in not excusing the sin of man. See, some of us would say, but they don't know better. They don't have the Bible. They don't have special revelation. And here's what God says, or Paul says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. What does this say? It says that if you study God's general revelation of himself in the heavens and in the earth, you will come to this conclusion. There is a God. If there is a creation, there must be a creator. Amen? And then you have his revelation in man. Study man and the complexity of man as a living being and the animal kingdom, and you're going to come to what conclusion? There is a divine designer. It's the only thing that can give any explanation for the complexity of living beings. Now, God's second revelation to us is what we call special revelation. Special revelation is God's first, his spoken word that he's spoken to his people. That word in the Old Testament times was written down in what we call the written word of God. We call it the Old Testament. That special revelation. God telling his people, not just that there is a creator God, but telling them who he is. Yahweh, I am who I am. And the full and final revelation of God to us, especially, was Jesus Christ. So we have two primary means of special revelation: the written word of God, the Bible, and that includes the New Testament as well, and the living word of God, and that's Jesus. Now let's make a note here. Scientists study natural or general revelation. Theologians, pastors, scholars, Sunday school teachers, Christians, we're all theologians. Amen? We're not talking about just Brother Ricky. We're talking about all of us. We study Scripture. Now, some theologians study both Scripture and science. Amen? But remember this. God's natural revelation reveals to us what? There is a God, but it's only through special revelation that we can know who He, the Creator God, is. Now, the physicist and the astronomer and the biologist primarily study science. The Sunday school teacher, the preacher, the Christian, the church, primarily, except for a few, study the Bible. Now, what's amazing is this. Both natural revelation and special revelation are revelations of God to His people about Himself. Do you agree with that principle? Amen? If you don't, here's the time to go like this. We'll schedule a meeting at your house for me to come over, okay? Now, all of us would say that special revelation, Jesus, the living word, and the written word are infallible. Amen? There is no error contained in the written word and the living word. Amen? But we also should say the same about natural revelation. Amen? Natural revelation is infallible. Then we've got to answer this question, because there's a fear in many churches today, and there's a fear among many Christians, and they fear science. They fear man's study of natural revelation. And I stand before you this morning saying this to you as your pastor in 2006 on December 3rd, there is no need for anyone in Hardin Baptist Church to fear the study of science. And neither should we fear the study of Scripture. But what we should fear is the theologian and the scientist who misinterprets Scripture or science. I personally believe, as Francis Schaeffer teaches, when rightly interpreted, Scripture and science will not ever conflict each other. Amen? Now, we stand here today, and unless you've got your head in the sand, you know that there's a conflict between science and Scripture. That's not true. The conflict is in the misinterpretation of Scripture and the misinterpretation of science. Now, I want to begin this morning and show you some classic misinterpretations. And since we're the church, I'm going to begin with the church. Because first of all, I'm a person who believes that the church is not infallible. Amen? And we've made some horrendous errors of judgment in our past. Amen? We actually had church people who sanctioned from Scripture slavery in the United States of America. God help the church. You already know what I'm going to talk about. Many theologians who influenced scientific thinking as best as it was for several millennia believed in what was called a geocentric universe. What that means is the earth is the center of the created universe and everything revolves around the earth. Do you realize that Aristotle's laws of physics, I've studied more about things I don't have a clue about than I've ever studied for this sermon. But Aristotle's laws of physics stood firm for millennia because they were based on a model of a geocentric universe. And then all of a sudden, some religious thinkers in the church began to believe that it was actually possible that the earth was not stationary in the universe, and that the sun didn't revolve around it, but that the earth actually moved around the sun. Until finally the day came that a man named Galileo, with a telescope, looked farther into natural revelation than any man had ever looked. And he proved without a doubt that the sun was the center of our universe and not the earth. And he was made to recant his scientific findings. Why? Because it contradicted the Scripture. Now, how did it contradict Scripture? Well, it didn't. But it did when misinterpreted. See, Ecclesiastes 1:5 talks about the rising and the setting of the sun. Joshua was when he was in that great battle in the Old Testament day, and he just needed a little more daylight. Have you ever thought you needed just a little more daylight to get done what you need to get done? Well, since we don't have the power Joshua had in prayer, we had to invent light. Amen? But Joshua just prayed for God to do what? Just cause the sun to stand still. And see, that says, scientifically, that the sun must be revolving around the earth. So the Roman Catholic Church made Galileo recant, and he lived his latter days of his life under house arrest. Now, here's what's amazing. Today, at Hardin Baptist Church, there's not a person in here who believes that the sun revolves around the earth. You believe the earth revolves around the sun. Amen? So we must say either the Bible is wrong Or we must say this. When the Bible speaks about the rising and the setting of the sun, it is talking about how things look in the heavens from the view of those on the earth. Amen? Did you know today, though, there is only one branch, listen to me, there is only one branch of scientific thinking people today who still believe in a geocentric universe. While there's not a person here at Hardin, even though we're not scientists who believe in a geocentric universe, there's still one branch of science that firmly believes in a geocentric universe, and that's meteorologists. I don't know why meteorologists still claim to a geocentric universe, do you? But they do. The meteorologist people down at WPSD still believe that the sun revolves around the earth. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm worried about it. Because I'm afraid if the Lord doesn't come back soon and He lives and we live and society goes on for 2,000 more years, that down the road somebody's going to put $5 into a little machine and they're going to pick up a copy of the Paducah Sun, December 3rd, 4006. And the headlines are going to say, proof that WPSD meteorologists believed in a geocentric universe. Today, temperature is going to be 49. The normal is normally 51. The record temperature is 71. And the sun's going to rise at 6:50. And the sun's going to set at 4:38. Now, can I ask you a question? Is there anyone of you in here who believe that when the meteorologists, WPSD, say sunrise and sunset, they still believe in a geocentric universe? Not a one of you. But it would be possible for people 2,000 years from now to pick up that slide and think they did. And I'm here to tell you, I don't believe the Bible ever intended to teach us that the sun revolved around the earth any more than I believe the meteorology at Channel 6 mean to teach us that. Do you? But what happened? Some folks misinterpreted Scripture. And we in the church are to be the first ones to say, I was wrong. We were wrong. Amen? Now, that should not shake your confidence in Scripture. But it should let you know that it's possible for theologians in whatever branch to misinterpret Scripture. Now let me give you a classic misinterpretation of science that you don't hear much about. And that's this. For millennia, I'm talking about for millennia, not based on Scripture, but based on what they could behold, the people who investigated natural revelation, the people who studied the heavens and the earth, and there's been many, believed in what is called the steady state theory of the universe. And you know what that theory taught? It taught three things. That the universe was homogeneous, that it was infinite, and it was static. And they taught it for thousands of years. And it was in conflict with Scripture. Totally in conflict with Scripture. But see, here's what the natural scientist told us. The universe, it's the same throughout. So if you could go as far this way as you go and go as far as that way as you go, it's the same throughout. They taught it was infinite. That it extends forever in all directions. And they taught it was static. It is not expanding. It's as it's always been. Now, we had a great thinker scientifically, a guy by the name of Albert Einstein. My head swims when I just read articles about him. Amen? Unbelievable thinker, though. Do you not agree? He first discovered what we today call the law of general relativity. Now, you have to be careful. In science, they have two terms, law and theory. Law means it's so. Now, when Einstein first proposed general relativity, he called it the theory of general relativity. But I'm told, and after all of my study this week, I'm convinced that the law of general relativity, it's absolute. It's true. It's been verified almost to the 100th degree today, so that we now call it the law of general relativity. But are you aware of this? Because Albert Einstein believed in a steady state universe, because he believed that the universe was eternal, that it did not have a beginning, that it had never been created, that it had always been, and it was just as it was, when he took his theory of general relativity, which he believed in, and he put it on the model of the steady state universe, guess what? It didn't work. It didn't work. And Albert Einstein later in his life said it was the greatest mistake of his life, because you know what he did? He quit working on his theory of general relativity and he laid it aside. Why? Because he believed without a doubt in a steady state universe. Even though a man about 50 years earlier than him began to believe that the universe might be expanding, Einstein rejected it. I believe about 15 years after his findings of general relativity and laying it aside, a man by the name of Hubble looked farther into the natural revelation of God than man had ever been able to look before, and suddenly he saw the heavens expand. And as they expanded, it meant things in the universe were not as they had always been. But as they expanded, things in the universe, those bodies actually got farther apart. And then Einstein, praise the Lord, began to rework on his theory of general relativity. Now, can I say this? After scanning science books and the internet in science articles that are totally above Brother Ricky's head, I am convinced that among the men, Christian or non-Christian, who study general relativity, I mean the universe, it's not even worth mentioning the few who still believe in a steady state universe. What the scientific and pre-scientific community thought for thousands of years, today, scientists now looking through telescopes will tell you is not true. And now, there's another theory. A theory that the scientific community believes better communicates what we see when we look into the far reaches of natural revelation, and that's this: that the universe is not eternal, it's not always been, but it has a beginning. You say, why is that significant? Because the first three words of Genesis say, in the beginning. S- scientists, astronomers misinterpreted science. And guess what? Scripture was right all along. The universe has a beginning. But by faith, we know something through special revelation that we can't know through natural revelation, and that is the God of Israel is the Creator God. And if He's Creator, then does it not stand to reason that He's also Redeemer? Guys, we're in a new debate today. But that debate should not cause us to fear science. And what we need is Christians who are not only theologians, but we need Christians who are scientists. Please hear me. Do not ever let what the naturalist tells you, do not let what he says cause you to fear. I wish I could give you the scientific evidence. I don't have time, of their own words, where scientist after scientist after scientist after scientist tells you he begins his study with this notion. There is no God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That contradicts Scripture. What we need is scientists and theologians who approach the study with this belief. Yes, there is a God. But I did not create Him. He created me. Therefore, all I can know about Him is what He reveals to me of Himself. And therefore, we approach the natural revelation and the special revelation believing when both sides interpret their side correctly, there will not be a conflict. Amen? And until then, in the church, we're not going to look foolish. We're going to wait. Because we've got God on our side. Amen? Despite what some teach, we in the church did not create our God. Other religions did. But not us. And there is no need to fear. Father, Lord, I pray You help us understand that it is by faith we know what we know in the church. And when we know something by faith, because it's anchored in the truthfulness of Your written word, we don't have to fear the exploration of space. We don't have to fear someone looking in a microscope. Because, Father, eventually, what man discovers is going to just reveal what You had already revealed to us. Because science does not contradict the truthfulness of Your word. So, Father, do not let the church always be reactionist, but let us take the forefront. Let us restore theology to the proper place it used to hold in our educational institutions, and that is the queen of the sciences. And with a proper interpretation of what Scripture tells us, let us look into the microscope and make things that are small appear to be bigger. And then let us look through our telescopes and take things that appear really small. Let us enlarge them. And Father, let us not fear. Let us not fear. In your name, let us understand that there's some things only people of faith will ever understand. Because, Father, when it comes down to it, there is a culture of people who do not want to bow the knee to a creator, because they know if there is a creator, then that means they must bring their lives in subjection to your purpose and to your plan. And Father, it blows me out of the water, but people of no faith had rather live life without meaning and without purpose than to find the ultimate purpose in life. But you can't find that purpose until you understand that there's just some things that require faith. Thank you for calling us into being as faith-based people. And we're not ever going to apologize for that. But we're also not going to be unscientific. We're going to continue to be people of Scripture and people of science. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your attentiveness this morning. If you're sitting on the end of the chairs, you know what to do, right? Pass that attendance registry one way or the other. Amen. If you're here this morning, we want you to sign in. Let us know that you were here. Would the guys begin to receive our morning tithes and offerings? Receive our morning tithes and offerings. Couple important things. Do y'all see these trees to my right and to my left? I did it reversed. Now, some of you would say they look really good, but they really don't. They have no family ornaments on them. Tonight is our annual family tree decorating night at Hardin Baptist. And what this means is this. If you're a family or a person, one or 20, it doesn't matter. If you attend Hardin Baptist Church, and this is where you call your place of worship, if we're your spiritual family, we want you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Bring an ornament that symbolizes your commitment to Christ. Please. No Smurfs, no Donald Ducks, no reindeer. You get what I'm talking about? If you want to decorate your home tree with those kind of things, go ahead. But this tree symbolizes our spiritual family. Now, if you've been at Hardin very long, you're going to know this is Brother Ricky's favorite night service of the year. I love it. I'll tell you why I love it. Because most of you get to church, you drop your child in the nursery or in an educational class, and then you come to worship. I don't ever get to leave this room hardly, and I don't get to see you as an entire family, and tonight will be the first time I'll get to do this. Here's what I want you to do. When you come tonight, sit with all of those people in the church that you're a relative of, which means all the Cunninghams are going to be on the front row. The Imeses, they're going to take up two rows. The Shepherds, we have to put them on the back because they got so many people, okay? And we're going to just have rows and rows of families. And here's what I want you to do. Tonight at this assigned time, you're going to bring, and as a family, you're going to walk up here and you're going to put your ornament on the tree. Now, if you want to highly offend your pastor, just stay home tonight. You'll offend him really bad. Now, I don't usually tell you how bad I really want you to come, because I want you to come here most of the time for the glory of the Lord. Amen? But tonight, it's about Brother Ricky. No, I'm teasing. I really want to see you, family. This is an awesome time in our church. How many of you like this service? Can I just see a show of hands? Yeah, look, hands going up all. Shame on you who didn't raise your hand. Okay? Now, that's going to start tonight at 6 o'clock. Thursday, we're going to be getting ready for Helping His Kids Day. And Saturday, be here early. We're going to go 8 to 12. We're going to try to help families shop for their children here at church. We're planning on ministering to over 1,000 kids. We need you to be here about 7:15, and you're going to have to stay to about 12:30. If you got to come in and out, that'll be okay. But don't forget about everything that's going on at Hardin this week, okay? We're going to have our regular services downtown this Wednesday night. Any word before we go? Now, in the future, I want to talk to you how science is also verifying what Scripture's taught all along. Scripture's taught all along there's a sin nature. Amen? Amen. Do you know science is just now discovering this? We have a genetic code, and it shapes and determines a lot of our behaviors. Amen? Don't fear that. God's been telling us all along, you're just like your daddy. Amen? You know who daddy is? It's Adam. Until you're reborn. Amen? Until you're recreated. And isn't it amazing that the language of salvation is the language of recreation? You do not have a redeemer unless he's creator. Amen? Let's all stand and get out of here. Amen? Have a great, great, great day.